Tonight, we're going to open with Hebrews. Josh once told me that it's okay to have a favorite book, and this one's definitely mine. And I'm going to spend a lot of time in Hebrews tonight and a lot of different examples, and this is the core of what I would like to talk to the congregation about today. Hebrews 10, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I'd like to talk about not only what God has commanded for us, but what we should be drawn to do. We should be drawn to a full assurance of faith, drawn to hold fast to our hope, and drawn to stir up one another to love and good works. Faith, hope, and love. These three are very persistent themes in the Bible, and rightfully so. We see through Scripture how important these are. Faith is the chain to hope's anchor. Hope is the desire and the encouragement of the fulfillment of God's promises. And love is a direct commandment from Jesus. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So you see, faith is our connection to our hope. If we are the vessel, then faith is the chain that connects us to our hope. Scripture puts into perspective just how important our faith is. Our faith has to be genuine. It has to be unwavering. It's necessary for our endurance. Our chain that is holding together, holding us to our hope. We must strengthen our faith. If you go over to Matthew 21, verses 21 through 22. And Jesus answered them, "Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." After the disciples had marveled at what Jesus had done to the fig tree, he told them that their faith could move mountains. He told them that their prayers could be answered if they had faith. Jesus talked much about faith, even having faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed. He shows us that having this faith is equal to putting our trust in God, and this pleases the Father. For as Scripture said, it is impossible to please him without faith. So for those of us that may have children, you can equate this to the feeling that a child may put in their parent. Faith in their parent. They trust you. They place their faith in you as a parent, that you will help lift them up through the obstacles that they face as they grow. And just as we are God's children, and just as we grow and we progress through our Christianity, this is why we need to be drawn to our faith. And if our hearts are true to God, we will put our anxiety and stresses aside and instead replace them with faith. Faith that can move mountains and strengthen your prayers. So therefore, let us be drawn to faith, drawn to putting our trust in God, a trust that leads to the fulfillment of our hope in God's promises. Hebrews 6, 18 through 20. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Apologies. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we see here again, holding fast to our hope. In Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. In Titus 2, verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? You see, in our age now, we have the benefit of having the good news, of having the gospel at our fingertips, on print, on devices, and electronics, and hymns. Paul tells us, how can one hope for something that they cannot see, or that they can see? If you can see it, then there's no requirement for hoping for it. There's no desire for hope. Hope, like faith, is trusting in God. They're connected. And Scripture tells us that God does not lie. The Father fulfills his promises. For instance, if I, as a parent, were to promise my children ice cream if they finish their dinner, well, they will continue to hope for it until they receive it. But after having it, the hope would no longer be required. Faith is connected to hope because if I were to then describe the ice cream to them, the flavor, the texture, the creaminess, my experience of eating it, then this would in turn increase their faith. And by their faith, they would be able to see what they haven't seen yet. They'll see it for themselves. That is how faith connects us to our hope. We're fortunate to have the Bible, the full instruction of the Lord, that sets forth the precedent that God does not lie. Therefore, we can trust in his promise. We can hope. And as the world continues to crumble around us, we can rejoice and we can abound in our hope that God will never leave us and that Jesus will return for us. Romans 5, verses 4 through 5. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, God loves us so much so that he would pour out his love onto us. It shrouds us like the sun. It covers us. It brightens us. It is the light. And that's what love does. It covers. Jesus commanded us to love. And the Old Testament speaks again and again and again of steadfast love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And when asked about what the greatest commandments are, Jesus echoes these scriptures. In Mark 12, 30 through 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Again, Jesus tells us that there's nothing more important than love. Because when you have faith and you have hope, it is because you love what you have faith and hope in. And we're commanded to love God with all of our mind, body, soul, all of our might. And then Jesus has commanded us to love one another. Love can cover all as the commandment. When we love, we imitate Christ. And if Christ is the exact imprint of God the Father, then loving is the closest we can get as humans to God's grace. How amazing is it to be able to love and to be given that commandment? More importantly, how great is it to stir up others to love? As Skylar was mentioning in his talk, building each other up. When we spread love, we are spreading the Holy Spirit onto the world. We're playing our part to spread the gospel. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Same chapter, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Sometimes loving is difficult, but we have to hold fast to the greatest commandment that has been given to us. And if we have faith in the Lord and have hope in God's promise, then we should love as Jesus did. Because the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. So therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Thank you.